Iran launches the indigenously manufactured Jalaran 2 destroyer in the Caspian Sea in the presence of President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. The Iranian president says the new destroyer is in Caspian Sea to guarantee sustainable security in the region. Iranian defense minister says presence of the Jamaran 2 destroyer symbolizes the country's defense industry prowess. Iranian foreign minister says Tehran and Buenos Aires are working to settle the accusations about Amia explosion in 1994. And Pakistani Prime Minister defends Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline, saying the project will meet energy needs of Pakistan. Iran launches In the Name of God, the Compassion of the Merciful. Hello everyone and welcome to this edition of Iranian and English News with me, Neil Shitsas. Iran launches the indigenously manufactured Jamaran 2 destroyer in the Caspian Sea near the northern port city of Bandar Anzali in the presence of President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Iranian Defense Minister Brigadier General Ahmad Vahidi and Chief of Staff of Iran's Armed Forces, Major General Hassan Firouzabadi, also attended the ceremony to launch the warship. Jamaran 2, a wave-class warship, has been designed and built by the experts at Iran's Defense Ministry and has a state-of-the-art navigation equipment and complex defensive systems. The production line of the advanced indigenous destroyer was inaugurated in Bandar Anzali 6 years ago with the aim of protecting Iran's 20% share of the Caspian Sea. The 1,420-ton destroyer is powered by a 20,000-horsepower engine with a speed of 30 knots and has the capability to carry helicopters, different surface-to-surface and surface-to-air missiles, advanced artilleries, and torpedo system. It is also equipped with electronic war system. The Jamaran 2 destroyer is a symbol of the Islamic Republic's capability and strength and conveys the message of peace and friendship to the Caspian Sea states. Addressing the launching ceremony of the Jamaran 2 destroyer, the Iranian president said that the new facility is in the Caspian Sea to guarantee sustainable security in that region. President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said Iran's naval presence in seas is aimed at strengthening friendship, establishing security for all, and confronting extremism and those who intend to disturb the security of nations as well as the Caspian Sea. The president added that without a doubt, all neighboring countries are happy with the Iranian Navy's achievements because they consider these advancements as a step towards their own security in the region. He also praised Iran's naval experts for their success in designing components of the destroyer. In recent years, Iran has made great achievements in its defense sector and attained self-sufficiency in producing essential military equipment and systems. Tehran has repeatedly assured other countries that its military might poses no threat to other states, insisting that the Islamic Republic's defense doctrine is entirely based on deterrence. Also attending the ceremony, the Iranian defense minister said the presence of the Jamaran 2 destroyer symbolizes the country's defense industry prowess. Brigadier General Ahmad Vahidi said Jamaran 2 represents the Iranian defense industry's supremacy and proves the progress of Iran's defense ministry, especially its maritime industry. He added that Iran's defense ministry has been developing its naval forces in line with the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei's guidelines on the importance of protecting Iranian maritime borders. The Iranian president has congratulated Argentine's Jorge Mario Bergoglio over his election as the first Latin American pontiff. In a message issued on Sunday, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad congratulated the 76-year-old Pope Francis I on his election. In his message, the president stressed the need for close cooperation and public participation to reform global management structures on the basis of the teachings of Abrahamic religions. He said, Christ and other prophets have brought humanity, kindness, friendship, and peace. He also expressed hope that peace and justice would prevail in the world. On March 13, Bergoglio was appointed as the new pope after 5 rounds of voting in the Vatican. The Iranian foreign ministers said Tehran and Buenos Aires are working together to settle the accusations about Amia explosion dating back to 1994. Ali Akbar Saleh said the Islamic Republic of Iran has condemned the terrorist attack on Argentine Jewish center in 1994 and is working with the Argentine government to resolve the issue in line with a letter of understanding signed by representatives of the two governments. He said based on the agreement signed by Iran and Argentinian government, her national police, the Interpol, must quit issuing red notice for 4 Iranian officials. Elaborating on the foreign ministry's efforts to lead Iranian diplomatic relations to warmer interaction with other governments, he expressed the hope that the new Iranian year will be a turning point for Iran's foreign policy. And now a recap of our top stories. Iran launches the indigenously manufactured Jamaran 2 destroyer in the Caspian Sea in the presence of President Ahmadinejad. The Iranian president says the new destroyer is in Caspian Sea to guarantee sustainable security in the region. Iranian defense minister says presence of the Jamaran 2 destroyer symbolizes the country's defense industry prowess. Iranian foreign minister says Tehran and Buenos Aires are working to settle the accusations about Amia explosion in 1994. And Pakistani president defends Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline, saying the project will meet energy needs of Pakistan. Pakistani president has defended Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline, the IP project, saying the project will meet energy needs of the country. He said Pakistan signed a multi-billion Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline project to resolve the energy crisis. Asif Ali Zardari also defended foreign policy of his government and said relations were improved with India and Afghanistan. At least 10 people have been killed and many others injured in a car bombing near the southern Iraqi city of Basra. Earlier, 5 people were wounded in another car bomb explosion in the center of Basra. 3 Iraqi police were also wounded in a car bomb attack near Bayaji, north of Baghdad. No group immediately claimed responsibility for the bombing, but militants, including those linked to Al-Qaeda, target security forces, civilians, and government officials in a bid to destabilize the country and reduce confidence in the government of Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. Meanwhile, an Al-Qaeda-affiliated group claimed responsibility for an attack on the Justice Ministry in Baghdad last week, in which at least 24 people were killed. Almost 500 people have been killed in terrorist attacks across Iraq this year. On Thursday, 21 people were killed in a series of bomb and gun attacks in the capital, Baghdad. Civilians who were killed or wounded by U.S. and its allied troops in Basra, Iraq, remained a sad legacy 10 years after the U.S.-led invasion. An estimated 100,000 civilians were killed or wounded following the arrival of the U.S. and its allied troops in Iraq. Now people as well as those marginalized in Iraq blame U.S. government for the hardships they have faced since 2003, following the U.S. and its allies' military operations in Iraq.
We expected to live in a better situation when the occupation forces, the U.S. forces, came to Iraq. We expected the situation would be improved, but contrary to our expectations, the situation worsened, and at the end, I lost my husband. I have no breadwinner in this world now, and I have 6 kids. I could not imagine that my life would be changed like this. What should I say? Definitely everything that has happened was because of the Americans.
My father was like my friend. I was used to spending time with him, playing and eating together. He could not support us well, but he borrowed money to provide us a decent life. I can't do anything now. Even I don't have pocket money when I go to school. Why did that happen? It was all because of the Americans.
I cannot go outside in the street to enjoy the sun. I cannot move forward with my family. I cannot get married, and I'm not able to play football. I was walking before, but I'm crippled now. I also lost my eye. I lost everything in my life. I appeal to the officials to look at my condition.
Actually, we thought that joy would pervade the Iraqi people, and we thought we would get rid of Saddam's oppression. We thought they would provide us with public services and build schools to teach the illiterate people. But conditions were getting worse. There were many victims who were shot and killed every day by the U.S. and British forces.
The death toll from recent protests in the Egyptian coastal city of Port Said has risen to 48 after a protester succumbed to his injuries in a hospital. The Egyptian city has been the scene of violent protests since January. The unrest erupted after the detention of dozens of people in connection with a deadly football riot that killed 74 people in Port Said last year. In January, a judge sentenced 21 local people to death for their roles in the February 1, 2012 riot, in which 1,000 people were also injured. Egyptians have criticized the verdict, describing it as politicized. The court confirmation of the sentences of those accused of involvement in the football tragedy is likely to cause more protests and unrest. Egypt's army has also taken control of Port Said, replacing police units to defuse possible tensions. Also, Egypt's security forces have clashed with protesters outside Muslim Brotherhood headquarters in the capital, Cairo. Now the Syrian army has clashed with foreign-backed militants fighting against the government in several parts of the country, killing a large number of them. According to Syrian official news agency Sana, Syrian soldiers clashed with militants in Aleppo, Homs, suburbs of Damascus, and Idlib on Sunday. Syrian troops also destroyed several militant hideouts during their operations and confiscated large amounts of weapons. Meanwhile, at least two civilians were killed and many others injured in terrorist mortar attacks in Damascus neighborhoods of Al-Kabun and Barzeh. Casualties were also reported in Syria's eastern Hasaka region after mortars fired by militants destroyed seven houses in Umm al-Khayr village. Meantime, Syrian students living in Poland and a group of Polish citizens staged a sit-in outside the UN headquarters in the capital, Warsaw, to protest against the act of terrorism committed by militants in Syria. They also called on UN Chief Ban Ki-moon to pressure states funding and arming militants operating in Syria to stop their anti-Damascus measures. And finally, Bahraini protesters have held a demonstration in the northeastern island of Sirte, demanding the withdrawal of Saudi forces from the country. The demonstrators chanted slogans against the presence of the Saudi military in Bahrain. They also called for an end to the heavy-handed security response by the Bahraini regime forces to peaceful protests. On March 14, 2011, troops from Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates were deployed to assist the Bahraini regime and its crackdown on peaceful protests. According to local sources, scores of people have been killed and hundreds arrested ever since. Since mid-February 2011, thousands of pro-democracy protesters have staged demonstrations in the streets of Bahrain calling for the Al Khalifa royal family to relinquish power. Bahrainis say they will continue holding anti-regime demonstrations until their demand for the establishment of a democratically elected government is met. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of IRI and in English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.